Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus, we do stand in awe of you, Lord. Hallelujah. For who you are, for what you are. You're worthy of all of our praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Something in this life will cause us to stand in awe. Let it be you, Lord. Let nothing else in this world cause awe in us except you, your works, your creation. But you, the Father of all. Hallelujah. Praise you this morning. Lord, as we continue to seek you, to listen to you, to know you better to this morning, cause it to be from the position of awe, from the position of hunger, from the position of thirst. We need you and you alone. We need nothing else. Money's not important. Time is not important. Not even friends are important. Just you, Lord. Just you. All those other things you said you'd add to us if you became the center of our focus and our desire. We thank you. We proclaim in Jesus' name that that's the way it is in this place. We are those people that are hungering and thirsting after you. Not just this morning, but continually. Hallelujah. We lift our hearts to you today and ask you to continue to minister to us, through us, for your kingdom. And for those things, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand, please.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Young, be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but I sat there a long time. Didn't realize it until I got up. But that's the way it's supposed to be. And we're not supposed to be worried about what's going on except Jesus until we get to moving. Then we figure out how long we've been sitting or standing. Hallelujah. Well, let's continue worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with His tithes and our offerings. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. If you need a cash offering envelope, raise your hands, please. A cash offering envelope, raise your hands. We got any announcements this morning? Come. You don't know what to do when I change, not when I'm doing the same thing. Okay? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, there's a couple of announcements that I have. I'm going to have to pull this from memory, but let's see. March the 19th, 17th. See, I knew if I would just try to wing this, I'd get... What is happening March the 17th? The baby shower. We're having a baby shower at my house. I should know what date it is, shouldn't I? What time is it? 4 o'clock. Okay. So 4 o'clock on March the 17th, that is a Sunday afternoon. We're going to be having a baby shower for Joanna. Now, as most of you know, the baby shower precedes the baby coming into the world, but Lauren Backus just couldn't make it this week. So... this week, Joanna became a new mom, and Bill became a grandpa this week to Kylie Lauren Backus. A healthy 5 pound, 8 tenths of an ounce, 18 inches long, an eighth of an ounce. She is just a little thing. I mean, you can just hold her just about like this in one hand. And... the new mama and new baby are getting adjusted to each other. They were better adjusted whenever the baby was in the womb. I mean, the mom was doing just fine. But now that she's arrived, it's a little bit different. So keep them in your prayers. And if at all possible, if some of the ladies can get together this week, I know it would be a blessing to Joanna and the baby and Bill if you could, if we could maybe prepare some meals so that we could... help them out. That would be great. Let's see. Jessica, could you come up here for a second? A little bird told me about somebody else having a birthday. And that little bird told me that it was Tanya's birthday also. But Jessica also had a birthday this week. And Tanya, if you want to join her up front here, I didn't think so. Anyway, Jessica had a birthday on Friday. And so what are you, about 13 now, Jessica? 10? 10 years old. And Tanya, she's a little over 13. Anyway, if somebody can give us a start on the happy birthday. Did anyone else have a birthday this week so we don't... No one else had a birthday this week? No? Okay. We're going to sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Birthdays are special. Yeah, sure. Oh, well, see.
Noticing or knowing?
Let's see. There's a couple of other things. We do have a guest with us this morning. Our guest has left the room for a minute. Okay, so Crystal's aunt is with her today. The 18th. I thought somebody's name. I thought 18, eight, Nadine. What's happening on the 18th? Oh, yes, the ladies sang on the 18th. On the 18th, which is a Monday night, of course, every Monday night, the men have their Bible study here at 6:30 p.m., but on that particular Monday night, the 18th, we will be having a ladies' night out. We'll be meeting up at the Marie Callender's at 7 p.m., and that's off of Union Boulevard. So some of you ladies that don't get a chance to get together with us sometimes, you need to join us that night because we'll have a good time. No telling what we're liable to do. We always have a good time when we get together. Let's see. It's good to have Dean back with us. We missed you last week, Dean.
Well.
It's good to see Claude.
Yeah.
And I believe his brother, Jim.
Jim.
Jim. Your cousin. Oh, okay. Good to have you with us again this morning. And as always, it's good to see Anita. Good to see you back here, Anita. Okay, Jasmine. Oh, okay, this is Johnny's niece. Jasmine, it's good to have you with us this morning.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see her now, but I think that Carmen brought her granddaughter, the little one. What's her name again? Holly? Esperanza. It's good to... Oh, okay. Where does she get all that hair? Such long hair. Okay, a couple of other things. One other thing before I announce our guest. On March the 30th at 7 o'clock p.m. in Wheat Ridge, and I'm going to put this at the back because I only got one, and in the shuffle it somehow got... wrinkled, but at 7 p.m. at 3690 Otis Street, and that's in Wheat Ridge, the party is actually hosted by Melanie Golden, and it's a candlelight party. And for those of us that don't know exactly what a candlelight party is it a candle party? That's correct? Okay. It's a candle party, and Melanie is hosting that. And she is invited, every one of you, every one of the ladies probably. Guys are not into candles, but anyway, you do enjoy them, whether you like it or not. that is a candlelight party, and that will be at 7 o'clock p.m. on March the 30th. So that invitation has been given to every one of you ladies. You have more? Okay, there is more there that you can, if you decide that you want to go, you need to see Melanie and get the address, date, and location. Now then, Janelle Jonas, it's good to have you with us this morning, Janelle.
Yes, amen.
Let's see. One other thing, and I don't want you guys to think I'm scolding you because y'all wouldn't want to take it in that manner. But the side parking is for the elderly and the handicapped as of today. So, let's see. I don't see many elderly. I don't see any handicapped. So, if we can If we can park out front, people know that people that are driving by, they know that something's going on here rather than us hiding back there. If you'll notice, Stan and I, we park up front. Bobby Joe, did you park back there? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I don't want to scold you guys. I just want to encourage you. It's just an appearance of what we're showing the community. Let's park out front if at all possible. I know that some of you have got loads and loads of food or loads and loads of kiddos. Pull in, unload, pull out, park out front, please. Okay?
Good word. The Bible says abstain from the very appearance of evil. We know that close parking is for those that are handicapped, right? So please abstain from that picture. I'll tell you what, and I'm serious. Why don't you just trust God when you park far out here as you can and thank Him for every step that you've got coming in? And maybe you won't end up in a handicapped spot. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. If you gentlemen will come forward. By the way, to you ladies, when the men meet together, we study the bread of life, which is the Word. What do you study? You guys are way ahead of us on these meetings, so don't even say because the men are meeting, we can. That ain't the way it works. Just come right out and say we want to. And we're going to go party some. Then when we say that, you won't have anything to say, right? There wasn't one amen on that. I noticed that. Well, don't make any difference, as Connie says, whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. Remember, we are not bribing God. You don't have enough money. What you're doing is invoking the Word. The Word says, give and it shall be given. Don't give without that thought in your mind. Cause the Word to be in effect in your life. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to invoke your Word in our lives. To literally find by laws and methods a way that we can increase our effectiveness on this earth by allowing you and causing your Word to give to us. Men will give to us. We know that's the truth, therefore we give cheerfully in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I know there's a river here. It's our job to get in. Praise the Lord. All right, are you ready to go for part two of who knows how many parts? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, you heard their response. Give them what they ask for. Your presence, your Word, your revelation. Let the words of men fall to the ground. Give them you today. For that we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing... As we pat Bill and Joanna on the back, somebody pat God on the back because He fathered this. Amen. Right? I thought about this morning. Nobody's congratulating God for one more soul in the kingdom. Why don't we give praise where praise is due? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It was... we have a lot of people gone today. Remember them in prayer. Give them a little call if you see a face or you in your mind that's not here in flesh today. And encourage them. Tell them you missed. I was reminded this morning by somebody that's very concerned, not worried, that I said that God was the only judge. And in the New Testament it says Jesus was given all judgment. Let me remind you of something, and I've shied away from this, but I'll tell you anyway before we begin. There is only one judgment. And it's not going to come on what we call Judgment Day. There's no way you can prove that. What you can prove is, since all judgment was given to Christ Jesus, that judgment happened on the cross 2,000 years ago. That judgment you will enter into, no matter what. You'll be judged into life eternally or death eternally by your choice now
on a judgment that happened 2,000 years ago. The problem with speaking like this is you must get beyond your flesh mind to understand this. People like to say on judgment day we'll be judged. No, you won't. The Bible says the Lamb's Book of Life will be opened. And that will be the judgment. That's it. If your name is there, and by the way, everybody's name is in the Lamb's Book, but not everybody's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nobody slipped by the book. If you like books, if you like records, bookkeepers, if you like that, everybody's in there. But only those that partook in the judgment of life are going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those that decided that that life wasn't good enough, it didn't equal to theirs, they assumed their life, which is death. Now they go from flesh death to eternal death. We go from flesh life to eternal life. That's what happens on that day. That's why all judgment red letters in the New Testament was given to Jesus. Because at that moment on the cross, all judgment took place. We're going to enter into it. Everybody's entering into judgment. Everybody's saved from death unto life. Are they saved from death unto death? Nobody has any other choice. When you read the Bible, understand that the Bible's accomplishing one thing in our life. And that is it's establishing there's only two choices. Or we might say one choice in your life. Life or death. If that's two choices, it's two choices. If it's one, I think it's just one, it's one. Everything's going to come in that form in the Bible. Life or death. Blessings or curses. You can say about the Trinity, but there is no Trinity in choices. The Trinity in choices makes Jesus sick. Life or death, blessings or curses. Happens now, not in the future. Because I can promise you when He says that He'll come in the twinkling of an eye, that eliminates future. Because you don't know when that is. So it's got to be now. Does that make sense? So what we are birthed into by our first sin. And the Bible says all has sinned. So everybody has entered into the first sin. At that time you were birthed into death. That's why I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that a baby is born in life and sins. At the age of accountability, a perfect being becomes imperfect. Don't ask me when that is, and don't ask anybody else because they don't know either. That's between you and God. A theologian only lies if he says he knows. It is not when you confess your sins in front of a man. Nothing happens then. You went into death by choice. You will come into life by choice. And that's the final judgment. Okay? Now, anybody bring their notes again? Anybody not have notes? Have we still got some of those around? I know we should. Okay, if you want to hand those to people that will raise their hand. I'm going to very quickly run through as a very quick review. You've got notes here, so you can do a long-term review later. But quickly. A, the spirit realm is the only true and lasting reality. B, we are flesh ruled by spirit, not spirit ruled by flesh. We are flesh ruled by spirit, not spirit ruled by flesh. C, all of our understandings must be rooted and grounded in spiritual equations and formula. D, our life goals must not be to provide for flesh, but to provide for the eternal. E, our now and eternal goal is not heaven, but is the kingdom of God. For those of you that don't know what I'm saying, you should get the tape from last Sunday. But our goal is not heaven. Anybody that has a goal from heaven, their goal is heaven, is selfish. And it is not Christianity. Your goal is to provide what is needed now for those that need something now. How do you base that, Stan? Because that's what Jesus said. He never preached heaven. He preached the kingdom of God. Unless you be born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. So you better forget about anything else. When Jesus says it, that's the period at the end of the sentence. There's nothing else to say. F, the only way to salvation is through Jesus. Not man, not priest, not blood, no other mediator, no other name. Any other name is mutiny. Any other action is mutiny. Only through Christ Jesus. G, salvation does not come through a physical work, but through a spiritual work of obedience. H, God is the only judge of all works, spiritual and physical. What I mean there is you don't have to ask anybody else for forgiveness. And you don't have to sit at anybody's seat of judgment. Only Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Word of God. Boom, that's it. Nobody else's opinion makes any difference. Nobody else's resolution or anything else makes any difference. You're not safe until Jesus says so. No other man can say safe. Aye. Salvation is not a one-time work. Redemption is a one-time work by Jesus Christ. Salvation is a lifelong thing. J, the work of Jesus on the cross was for redemption, paying for all past, present, future sins. It opened the door for an intimate walk. It did not cause an intimate walk. K, Jesus' payment moved you from the book of eternal debtor and death into the book of life. L, the Word of God draws us into salvation. M, salvation is not just for us. It is not hell insurance. Salvation is for the King and the Kingdom. N, redemption and salvation is what will cause you to grow continually from glory to glory. O, the reward is both now and eternally. I'm not going to go through the other part about the... You just know that you sinned. Just know there's a way to get out of it. That's simple enough. One of the hardest things in the world is to cause someone to know. Let me say it another way. The hardest thing in the world is to cause yourself to know. There's many people that walk around strutting. Very few people know. There's many scientists and politicians that know, but they don't really know. It's something that you and God got to get together and figure out. The Word of God will cause that in you. You've got to know that through repentance, you're free. What is repentance? Repentance is this. I did it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it again. That's how simple it is. And you've got to mean it. You've got to know that it was God's idea and not yours. What? The whole plan of getting out of death. To welcome you back into fellowship instead of where you are now. Three, knowing that Jesus paid the price. You must know that the price means everything. He paid for everything. Nothing is left out. There's no sickness, no disease, no financial problem, nothing. No depression, no mental, physical, or spiritual, or financial problem that Jesus has not already taken care of.
That's right.
Number four, knowing that God through Jesus did the hard work, you just enjoy the benefits. Number five, knowing that His path for us is easy, and whatever we load, we carry is light. Number six, His purpose for us is great. Not just for us, but for everyone around us. Number seven, we do not have to depend on our limited mind for answers. We got His mind. What am I saying there? When you can't know by yourself, you can know through Christ Jesus. When you've gone as far as you can go, then you literally go a little bit further in Christ Jesus. You pass that. The world starts calling you crazy. Because they will only go so far. And you start saying the word God and boom. You've passed them. They'll call you crazy, but you know they are. Because you just walked into sanity and they're still insanity. Okay? I caught the program last night where the president brought in a bunch of gospel singers into the White House. Celebration of gospel music. And then you've got singers in there singing about God and singing about Jesus and singing about everything they're supposed to be singing about. You got Chapman leading them in worship. I mean, there was some of the best music talent. The Martins there, they put on a show that blew the place out of them. I mean, there's just no better talent than that. And the president's beaming. And one of the singers looks at him and says, "Mr. President, I'm glad you are leading the country in the right direction." Now, there's many out there that think that's nuts. We know that those people that think that are nuts. Because we happen to know that that's exactly what he is doing. He's taking the country. He's taking the country from the Bill Clinton era, the demonic, stupid era, to where a man would say it depends on what is. Until the country, till our president now, every time he speaks, he says, "And may God bless America." And he's not trying to figure out what is. He has met the I am. Now he knows what is. Now, let's go on. We must know that we know God. We must know that God speaks to us. We must know that God hears us when we speak. And He answers. We must know that we can trust Him. He must know that He can trust us. Now, let's get into the hard part. I skipped the scripture. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was not talking about future. He was not talking about heaven. He's talking about right now. And I'm gonna tell you, every one of you sitting in here, if you don't know what I'm talking about, the kingdom of God, you don't know Jesus. You haven't been talking to Him enough. You haven't been reading His Word enough. Or you'd know what I'm talking about. You haven't come up against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and have Him rule and say you don't have anything to say about it. You haven't met the King that says this is not about you. This is about Him. And I'm going to use you to get to Him. Because it's my kingdom. That's why. Because I think that's best. That's why. You know that guy? You know that Jesus? You know that Lord? The one that don't take lip? He just gives lip? He listens to your requests. See, here's what everybody forgets. We always quote, He hears and answers every prayer. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. You say, God, help me. He does something to you or with you that you don't like. That's an answer. He didn't ask you if you were liked or not. You said, Lord, help. He helped. What are you fussing about? Yeah, but God, that isn't what I want to do. I didn't ask you what you wanted to do. You wanted help? This is what you got to do. He looked at the guy that didn't work and he said, a man that don't work, don't eat. The guy said, that's not what I wanted to hear. I don't care what you wanted to hear. That's my rules. You know that, Lord? Because that's the real one. The fake one is the one that slid off the cross in molasses and honey. And he hasn't said a cross word since. He just holds little children. That's not the King. That's a mock King. You've been to the church here in town that has the lion of the tribe of Judah as a pussycat with a little sissy crown and a little necklace and said, this is my meow, lion of the tribe of Judah. They never met a lion, did they? Never had a lion lick you sweet. Meet him. Best friend you can ever have, one that speaks honest to you. And the one that you can trust to do what's right for you no matter whether you like it or not. In fact, if you hang around him enough, he may give you some friends that speak like he does. And he may cause you to speak like he does. The world will be a better place. What is being born again? What is being born again? Well, let's move a little bit into it. There was a guy who said, what do you mean being born again? Am I supposed to go back in my mother's womb? The answer was, that ain't going to get it. That's not going to get it. That means you got to die. See, forget that part. You got to die. You got to lay in front of the cross, in front of Jesus and said, I'm guilty. I'm the murderer. I'm the liar. I'm the cheat. And I don't want to do it again. I want to die to that person. And what happens? You must be, you will be, you are born again. Being born again, or redemption, is Jesus paying or taking our sin, shedding His blood, sacrificing His life for us. And that provides redemption, which is a way of paying your debt. You remember from last week? Some of this is not going to make sense unless you get the tape from last week. It's a good one last week. You owed a debt you could not pay. Jesus came and paid it. That's called redeeming the debt. Redemption. That's something that He did, not you. You don't take advantage of it. He does. Why can't we get this? Why do you think Jesus did that? Just because He's a sweetheart? He had something up His sleeve. He had the plan of the Father up His sleeve. That's why He did it. Well, what that means is God must have had a plan too. Well, that's just so I can float like a little cherub fat with wings. Well, I got news for you. He don't need any of those. He's got all he needs. He's got all he's got. That's all. I mean, he don't need any more. What he needs is some people, rough, tough, two legs, two arms, two hands, with a mouth that'll speak, that says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I know who He is, and I know what He says. And what you just said, I rebuke in Jesus' name. Act like the lion of the tribe of Judah. Try it. Make you feel good. That's what He wants. He wants a president that will say, as for me and my country, we're going to serve the Lord. As a president that will stand up and call the Muslim world evil. Now listen, for all of you, that means you got to do it too. You can't let Jesus do your warfare. He saved you for a purpose. That's to stand up and be counted for. You're a warrior too. Isn't that what you're called? You're not only in the kingdom, you're part of the kingdom army. You sing it, you shout it. You know, we just get really busy until it comes time. Then we want to kind of be like that little pussycat lion. No. Was Jesus bashful when He redeemed us? Well, then we don't need to be bashful when we claim the redemption. I had somebody tell me, you don't fit my, I'll just use my words, you don't fit my mold of a... I am utterly crushed. I'm utterly crushed. I don't fit their mold. Why don't you just step right out and say it? I'm peculiar to you. Go ahead, say it. Say it. Because then now I know where I'm at. I'm supposed to be peculiar to the world, right? Why? Because I have had two births in my life. And I've already died. And I'm still walking around. Come on, say that to the world out there. I've been birthed twice, I've already died once, and I'm still walking. What are you going to do about it? And by the way, we can now say, as Jesus said, no man takes my life. Who do you think you are? Come on, something ought to be bubbling in there. Hebrews 9. Turn to Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. While you're at it, while you're telling them that you've been birthed twice, you've died once, my name used to be, tell them what your new name is. So they'll really be weird. I'm telling you one thing, Islam is not the only one that gets renamed. And Jesus don't give us such weird, funky, stanky names as they got. Anybody know what your name is? I've taught you. What's your name? Yahweh, Ben Yahweh, Harry Christ. That's your new name. That's God in the form of the Son of God. Your name, the Anointed One. Because you see, there was only one first begotten Son. But He was not the last begotten Son. And God named you. When you died to Him, your family name went away and you took His family name. Now, we're not going to get in a cultish thing here, but you need to understand that your God family name describes who you are and what you're supposed to be doing, and the other one drags you down. Drop the other one in your mind. Drop the other one. Doesn't make any difference what your last name is anymore. Your last name is now Christ, which means the Anointed One. Does not mean the Redeemer. Have I insulted anybody enough to stir you up this morning? Guess not. I'll try harder. Hebrews 9, verse 13. The blood of bulls, the blood of goats and bulls, for you don't think that I don't know what I'm reading the NIV, you just stick with me. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. The blood of bulls and goats sprinkled on you made you outwardly clean but not inwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that they may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator. You remember what I said? No other man, no other woman, no other position, no other priest, no other mother, no other father, uncle, aunt, brother, sister, offering or work will do. Only Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Now listen. That those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So you guys think you were living under the New Testament, not so. You were living under the Old Testament until you took part in the New Testament. Now listen. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. Do you get that? Jesus was the will of the Father. Then Jesus came to the earth and became the one that in His blood wrote the will of the Father. But He wrote the will. What does the will say? The will says, I've got all this, the entire earth. I want to give it to my bride. Oh, there's the catch. Everybody wants to say the will of the Father or the will of Jesus Christ is to give us all He has. That's not what it says. It says He wants to give it to His bride. So the will names the heir. Right? For that will to take effect, Jesus had to die. Here's the cool part. He didn't die. He just disappeared. He faked the law. He faked the laws, the world's law. He made them think he was dead when you and I have a written record that for at least 40 to 50 days he roamed the earth. And then after he finally disappeared, still alive, now his will in effect, he talks to us about his will. Now have I torqued your mind enough? If not, if you don't think you're torqued enough, talk to your neighbor about this and see if they don't look at you funny. But you need to remember, you have the truth, they don't. You're trying to give it to them. You're trying to give them. You're trying to include them in the will of the Father and the will of Jesus Christ, being the will. Are you thoroughly confirmed? See, anytime these two streaks are out there in you, then you're still confused. What's the question? Don't do this to me. Let me tell you something. If I say something that's weird, you just say, thank you, Jesus, anyway. If it's wrong, He'll take care of it. If it's right, He'll take care of it. Okay? You'll understand it if it's right, if you'll give Him thanks. Now look, the definition of to mediate or mediator, which is what Jesus, when he left this world as we know it and went to the next world, He was seated at the right hand of the Father, correct? He is the mediator of this will. All right, listen. To mediate or a mediator is to intervene or the one who intervenes between parties in a dispute. What was the dispute? If you don't think that God's not sly, listen to the dispute. I'm really going to try to mess you up a little bit now. Here's what happened. God gave you due dominion over the earth, over yourself, over everything that's on above, below this earth. The devil, I don't care if you poor little guys were tricked. I was so tricked. No. Here's what you did. You, Adam and Eve, and everybody since then. When that message came to us that we had dominion, we took the keys of the entire earth and we handed them over to Satan legally. Satan now owned the earth and us. Legally. He legally owned the earth and us. God said, kids, what am I going to do with them? Can't live with them, can't live without them. Jesus came. Satan thought he had it made because there was no remedy. There was no remedy. He even liked the blood of bulls and goats because it was impossible for us to fulfill. It was just a covering for sin. It was not a removal of sin. Satan had it made. He got the whole world and didn't even have to work on it. Just used his mouth. That's all he did. He's sitting back in his easy chair saying, let those fools pour blood all over this place. I like blood. I like death. I like destruction. I like blood. Give me WWF. God the Father says, I got a plan. I'm going to bypass. I'm going to do something He can't figure out. I'm going to send Jesus to literally take the sin of the world upon Himself and pay the price. Satan said, nobody would do that. Nobody would do that. You remember? Nobody will do that. God did it through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came. Satan went ballistic. They're trying to make a legal end run here. God, this is not right. Can you see Satan doing that? It ain't fair. God says, I'm not fair. I'm righteous. And I can do anything I want to do, and I'm fixing to show you. You know what? Satan believes God more than we do. Because he got concerned. The world walks around unconcerned, and Satan's worried, sick. And so he kills a lot of his own trying to make sure that Jesus don't make it. Minions, probably, I don't know how many. He wasn't smart enough to find the right one. Are you hearing me? Now listen. Listen to me. The baby's born. It's announced ahead of time. It's announced where it's going to be. It's announced to who it's going to be to. It's going to be announced in the city that it's going to happen, and Satan can't find it. Go on, I'm trying to tear Satan down in your mind a little bit. He's not near as smart as you think he is. Stars came. Angels sang. The road was paved, the direction. And Satan and all of his kings can't find it. He's a real bright character, isn't he? And he lost. God did an end run in the court of heaven. Paid the price. He holds the papers. By the way, he did not tear them up. He forgot your sins, but He didn't forget the debt. Now, you like that one? He forgot the sins, but He does not forgive the debt yet. Why? Because you're still carrying sin. And this is what has to be destroyed. You begin the act and He finishes it. Satan's job, what is it? To try to redeem the redeemed. Are you hearing me? In His eyes, He's doing a good work. Do you understand that in Satan's eyes, He's doing a good work? Come on, y'all not playing well today. Listen, Paul was killing Christians. And in his heart of hearts, he was doing a good work. Because he was following his Father. And when he met the real Father, he realized he hadn't been doing a good work. But only then did he know the difference. And he said, God, I'm sorry. God said, no problem. I forget it. And now he's free to save people instead of kill them. That's how much God holds against us, the sin of our past. But you see, Paul knew something. I have never been forgiven, or I have never been released from the debt that I owe. Too many Christians have been released from the debt that they owe. Paul knew. Paul, I could just see Paul praying and saying, God, I'm going to get 10 saved for every one that I killed. I'm going to get 1,000 saved for every one that I killed. He was not released from the debt. He was only released from his sin. What do you mean, Stan? Listen, a man that's a killer could never go save somebody. But the man that has been forgiven as a killer can go save somebody. He knew he'd been forgiven. He was no longer carrying sickness and dis-ease. He wasn't carrying something that would pass on to somebody else, like murder. He had life and that more abundantly to give. Now listen, do you think Satan knew that Paul was going strong? Do you think Satan knew that Paul was preaching and teaching and establishing government and churches? Why didn't he kill him? He couldn't. He couldn't. He couldn't kill Jesus. He can't kill you. Why? You're already dead. Can't kill a dead man. See, one thing we forget, that Jesus didn't die on the cross. He died the minute He said yes to God. He was dead. Well, prove it. Well, it's too easy. Y'all give me a harder, something harder to do. Listen, Jesus, even when, before the cross, before His resurrection, He could walk on water. A live man can't walk on water. Only a dead man can walk on water. Because the forces are not the same. Gravity no longer applies to a dead man. Are you hearing me? Jesus was a little crowded here. They just found Him over here. They don't know how He got there. The world would call that a ghost. Man, if we could just get into the reality of the Word, we can understand who we really are and who we're not. What we have to take part of and what we don't. Jesus forgave the sins. He did not forgive the debt. You remember me talking to you about it's illegal for you to forgive? That the definition of the word forgive has been misinterpreted in the Bible. It means loose. In every word that's forgive in the Bible means loose. That's because only Jesus has the right to forgive a debt. And He's not going to do it. Judgment's already occurred. The reason I brought this up. Judgment has already occurred. The debt is owed. Every person on the face of this earth owes a debt to Jesus Christ because He shed His blood for all. The sinner has nothing to say about it. The saint has nothing to say about it. He did it without our permission. The thing that you owed, every person He went and bought and says, now you owe me. And if you don't pay the debt, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to the debtor's prison. But if you'll just work for me, let's work this thing off. Jesus, that's all He says. You owe me, let's work it off. Well, how do I work it off? Start, I'll tell you when you're over. Just get going. I'll tell you when it's finished. Trust me. It's a great deal. In case you think I'm making it sound negative, I apologize, but it's a great deal. You don't know how good a deal is until you enter into it. And then you realize, I may be a slave to Christ Jesus, but He puts me in a mansion. I may be a slave to Christ Jesus, but I eat the steak and everybody else eats Chinese food. That's garbage, by the way. That's the low stuff. That's the roots and the sprouts and the stuff that grows out of fungus and all that. I don't have to eat that. I can eat steak because I am a king. Come on. Let's get something in our mind we can relate to. If it's not Chinese food, put something else in there. Something else you don't like. I'm a debtor. Look at me. I'm a debtor. Well, how come you don't act like one? I'm treated too good in my debtor's prison. I had a guy working for me one time. He went to jail for being stupid. And he was gone for the whole time. When I came back, I said, man, why'd you stay in prison? Look where I live. That place is air conditioned. They feed me 3 squares a day, and I got a color television and a comfortable bed. Why would I want to go home? Are you hearing me? I'm in a debtor's prison, and I'm loving it. I've never been so free in my life. But don't go to the other debtor's prison. I got the good prison. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand that Paul called himself a prisoner? He knew both prisons. And yet in the one what man tried to put on him, he'd praise the Lord and the doors would fling open. That's a good prison to be in. I like that warden. He's a mediator. He intervenes between parties in dispute. What do you mean he? I just told you how he intervenes. He whooped Satan in court bad, bad. And he says, now I live forever to be your advocate. You hearing what I'm telling you? I'm telling you the smartest lawyer in the world called Satan and all of those that fit got whipped by a smarter one. And now he says, I'll be yours if you'd like for me to. Why does he do that? This is the Oxford Dictionary. To produce an agreement or reconciliation. Now here's the deal. When Jesus went to the court and Satan went to refuse to agree, the agreement that Jesus laid on the table did not have to have the signature of Satan. It had to have my signature. You hear what I'm telling you? Are you understanding? I don't have to ask Satan for anything. I can walk in with my attorney. He's a fool. He's representing himself. And he gets whipped every time. Why? Because you see, my contract is signed in the blood of Jesus. Satan has nothing but the blood of bulls and goats left over. Blood and bulls and goats covered. The blood of Jesus Christ redeemed. It's erased. It's paid. The debt is paid. If we could ever get in our mind, the debt is paid as far as the death sentence. Just remember that sin required a death sentence. Jesus paid it. Okay? Now, I am so much in Christ Jesus that please don't ever ask me to forgive you because I will not do it. You'll have to go to the one that you sinned against, which was not me. I am in Christ Jesus. You didn't sin against me, you sinned against Christ Jesus. So you need to talk to Him. I'm not going to release you from the debt that you owe to Christ Jesus. You'll have to talk to Him on a personal basis about that. He bought the paper. He bought the debt. Remember? Now He sets and mediates. Can I tell you something? If we will just be honest with people and just say, I'm sorry, I wish that preachers and priests and all the other names that they've got for themselves in the ministry would just admit to people that I don't have any ability to release you from the debt that you owe Jesus Christ. Don't come to me for forgiveness. Don't come to me for absolution. Don't come to me for release. Don't come to me for blood that covers or water that washes. I don't have it. Only Jesus does. If we could just be honest, how many could we help? Go to the mediator. Go to the one that wrote the contract, paid for the contract, and now enforces the contract. Go to him. Being born again. I'm going to try a couple of definitions. I'm hoping I've already given you a couple, but here's some more. You're giving up your old family for new family. It's great when all the family's already there and the new family and the old family are together. That's great. But the bottom line is that you have to. Jesus said, I said, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. He said, don't tell me who my mom and dad is. I'll tell you who they are. They're the ones that serve the Father. He was trying to tell us what our family and who our family is. And please, let me throw in a couple of little tidbits here. When I am born again, I don't carry my family's gene pool either. I don't carry my family's curses of the blood. I don't care my family's debt. I don't care about my family's traits because now I have a new bloodline. So if my family's nuts, I don't have to be nuts. If they're murderers, I don't have to be murderers. If they're liars and cheats, I don't mean I am. Let me see. Let me see how this works. My father is the most honest person in the entire universe. The most fair, the most righteous, the wealthiest, the strongest, the best physician, the best lawyer, the best architect and engineer, outsmarts every army that's been in the entire earth. So he's the best strategist, the best warrior. He's defeated them all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills and the oceans and everything in the ocean above the ocean. And if I just say this a couple of times then the next thing I'm going to have to say to myself is, what right do I have to be but anything but that? I don't have any right to go anywhere else. I'm a liar if I say that, well, my family is a diabetic, so I must be. You just call God the Father a diabetic. Who are you? And by the way, I don't want to be part of your family if that's the case. Give me a better family. High blood pressure runs in my... Well, get out of that family. Get out of it. You don't want that mess. Well, cancer. My mother and my sister and all of those that had breast cancer. Well, get different breasts. Don't get theirs. Quit claiming theirs. Claim God's breasts, the ones He made without deterioration. Don't you go for the good stuff instead of the cruddy stuff, the thing the canker worms are still eating. Giving up old family for new. Satan is no longer your father. God is now your father. We are now birthed. Listen to me carefully. If I haven't hurt you enough, let me hit you one more time. We are now birthed the way Jesus was birthed, through a virgin birth. The reason I can do what Jesus did even more so is because I have been birthed the same way Jesus was. I died to the old birth. I was resurrected. By the way, Jesus was birthed by the resurrection power also. The Spirit of God moved on the earth and it was birthed. The Spirit of God moved upon Mary and it was birthed. Then the Spirit of God says, Gene, you hear what I'm saying? Same Spirit, same God, same way. Mary, or Jesus, was not the only one that had a virgin birth. Come on, I'm going to torque you a little bit. Listen to me. Jesus is not the only one that had a virgin birth. I had a virgin birth. A work of the Spirit of the living God. Nobody can take it away from me. Not a thing they can do about it. I have a new bloodline. I have a new way of living because my thinking is different. I have a new desire and a new outlook. I hunger and thirst differently than most. I see things differently than most and I hear them different than most. It is the result of us taking responsibility for our sin, giving our life in obedience to the Father, just as Jesus did. Are you as serious as Jesus? Then you're like Him. Boy, that's a hard formula, isn't it? Listen, 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians. This is, you can put it up on your walls, put it on your car, put it whatever. Mainly, carry it on your tongue so that you can take a sword and chop up somebody that calls you anything but Christ-like. And I don't mean destroy them. I mean cut the flesh away so that they can get some understanding in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, or verse 17. Therefore, what's that there for? It's so that you will know. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have already passed away. It didn't say all, but listen to me. Behold, all things have become new. Now, listen to what this is saying. It doesn't mean that you don't have a new walk to finish. It means what I said a while ago. Your taste is different. Your sight is different. Your hearing is different. Your thought process is different. And all that means is now you're starting over your life. I don't want this to sound bad, but you're starting your life just as a newborn babe. You got to know how to nurse again. You got to know how to eat again. You got to learn how to walk again. And you got to learn how to talk again. Old things, the old crud that used to come out of your mouth, you got to relearn. It's got to pass away. Most Christians interpret this as saying, well, God will remove it. That isn't what it says. Redemption removes the sin. Salvation is your job and God's job. Together. Joint heirs. In what? In everything that God has started. That's a new creation in you. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God. Now listen to me. Think about the last 72 hours. Can you stand up and can you tell me all things are of God? Everything that I've done, everything I've said, it's of God. You know why we can't say that? Because we haven't admitted that part of this work is ours. When we don't admit that part of the work is ours, we become welfare. We're on the rolls of the welfare in the Christian community. We're only to drain, we're never to add. We only take, we never give. And I'm telling you, God's formula is this. If you'll do what I ask you to do, I'm going to surprise you with what comes out of you. If you'll just do what I tell you to do. If I wake you up in the middle of the night and I tell you to pray, you pray. And you watch the prophet the next morning. If I tell you to shut your mouth, you shut your mouth right now. If I tell you to open it up, you open it up without thought. And you let me rip. And watch old things become new. You're going to look in the mirror and you're going to say, who was that? Who was that masked man? Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Wow. Take up your cross and follow me. You're not going to get the ministry of reconciliation until you pay some price. Are you hearing what the Scripture says? What does that mean? I thought I was already dead. Well, Jesus was already what we call dead to the Father, and yet He bled for some people. Welcome to the ministry of bleeding for people. Welcome to the ministry of not forgiveness, but reconciliation. Well, I'm sorry I sinned against you. I know that. I know you did. Now let me introduce you to the one that can take care of that. Don't you try to be the one. You introduce them to the one. And then you become a minister of reconciliation. You understand what I'm saying? Humans want to be the reconciler. And therefore they commit mutiny. Don't be that. Don't be that. I am one that is reconciled. Would you like to be like me? Let me introduce you to the one that does it. That's how simple the message of reconciliation. I mean, it's a little more complicated than that. The Bible says when a guy does you wrong, don't take on the ministry of reconciliation the wrong way. Just remember what Jesus did. They sinned on Him. They sinned against Him. They spit on Him. Now listen, the picture of the world. They killed Him. They made Him sick. They stomped Him. They insulted Him. They pulled His beard. They pulled His hair out. They put crowns of thorns. And He died for them anyway. Are you a part of the ministry of reconciliation? By the way, Jesus was not a wimp in these things. And if you can picture this, and you may think I'm nuts for a second, but because Jesus was so involved in the will of the Father, every thorn, even though it hurt, He said, thank you, Father. This is what I'm here for. Thank you for using me, God. Pulled His beard. He said, ouch. Don't do the other side. If this is what it takes, do it again. Are you part of the ministry of reconciliation? Does that mean you're a wimp? Does that mean you take everything? Oh, no, no. Look at the word. He mocked the judges. They say you are the Son of God. You say it too. Isn't that what He did? They said, whatever. And He said, they said, answer me. You don't tell me what to do. You don't tell me what to do. I'm doing what God told me to do. Don't try to interfere. Don't try to interfere. Can we be that bold? When I'm standing in front of somebody that's hurting me and lying about me, can I come up with a response of God the Father? That's the ministry of reconciliation. Let me read you the Living Bible's version. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. Remember we referred to as blood covering the outside? Now, when you're born again, you become a brand new person. You are supposed to be so new that some people don't even recognize who you are. He has become a Christian, a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. All these new things are from God who brought us back to Himself through what Christ Jesus did. Jesus paid the price. It's called redemption. You have nothing to do with it. Listen to me carefully. He did it whether you partake of it or not. What I'm trying to tell you is that you don't decide whether that's been done or not. That's been done. It's not up to your decision. Jesus paid the price, went to the cross, had nothing to do with your opinion or your decision. If you'd have never been born, He'd have done it anyway. So He didn't ask us. He didn't thank us. It was a job He had to do, so He did it. So when you talk about redemption, please don't think that you have a decision about it. It's already done. I'm going to say this about every way I know, because being born again is the first time you have a decision. Being born again is not admitting that Jesus died on the cross. That's a fact. Being born again is the first time you admit that you're a sinner and you don't want to do it anymore. Are you hearing me? And there's such a separate act that many times in Christians' lives, the two don't even come together till a later date. Think about it. People can get saved and never know anything about the cross. I think I just became a heretic in most denominations. But people can get saved and not understand the cross. Because it's the Spirit of God that births. And He can birth without an understanding of the cross. But He can't, salvation cannot continue without an understanding of the cross. I'll guarantee you that when Mackenzie was born, and right now, she doesn't have the slightest idea of the process. She just knows she's born. Later on, she'll come to the understanding of the process. Please, let's don't try to ram something down somebody's throat that we don't understand. Redemption is there. The first time the Spirit of God lays heavy on somebody's heart, they don't understand what it's about. They just know, I've got to do something or I'm going to die. Jesus said, that's my plan. You're going to die. That's all you need to understand. I sinned. I don't want to do it anymore. You're born again. You're born again. And then the salvation process begins. The salvation process is you understand what happened. But not yet. Not yet. Would you begin to give a sex education class to Mackenzie? That'd be foolish on your part. First place, you don't want to hear. The reason is because it's not time. When people are born again, don't try to make theological statements to them. Just let them enjoy their born again. Let them begin to nurse on God the Father so that they can get fed properly, not you. Introduce them. Say, read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Forget the rest of the Bible for a while. Just read that. And I promise you, when they begin to start, don't lead them down the Romans road. My word, Paul will get them all screwed up. Go back to let them watch Jesus for a while. And they're going to start saying, who is this man, Jesus? And you're going to think they're nuts because they're born again and they don't even know who Jesus is. Come on, I'm stepping on some of your theory now. I'm stepping on it, but I'm doing it on purpose. And while they're reading, while they're hungry, while they're newborn babes, eating everything they can get, guard them a little bit. If they start swallowing something they're not supposed to swallow, just say, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See if that's where that comes from. Are you hearing me? Let them be little babes for a while. That's what we're supposed to do. You don't require them, well, let me teach you about the Ten Commandments. No, leave them alone. You don't teach Mackenzie the basic food groups yet. Because she don't care. She just wants food. Let's either be born again or let's help those that are born again. But let's don't be enemies to the cross. Let's don't be enemies to what the cross has done. Let's don't convert them to our ism, whatever that is. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let them meet Jesus. Let them look at Him walk and talk. And the hunger, the Spirit in them now is drawn to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's a hunger that's created. And all of a sudden, the little one, no matter what the age, the little one gets a hero. I don't care if they're 40 or 4. The little one gets a hero. The hero is Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God will begin to introduce them to Jesus, the one that died on the cross. Not just Jesus, the one that lived. And all of a sudden, there's salvation and there's growth. And it's good growth, the right vitamins, the right minerals, the right spirit, the right water. And people begin to be strong. They're strong. They're strong. They're strong. And pretty soon they can withstand anything. They can right then. They just don't know how. Pretty soon they learn how they can withstand any attack of the enemy. I'm going to stop it here because I just don't want to go any further right now. It's a good place to meditate on these things. There are people out there. See, I don't know if you know this, but the call that this church has is a much harder call than getting people saved. Because the call of this church is to take people that have been born again. Or they have a working knowledge of God. It's been warped by the churches. It's been warped by theology or isms, religions, whatever. Are you hearing me? And we are to take them and take them back, strip them of their thinking processes and reintroduce thought processes that are in the Word. They're simple, they're childlike, and they're from the Word. To tell them who they are and also tell them who they're not. We're going to have people come in here that said, I'm an apostle. And you're going, baloney. You look more like somebody that's messing their diaper every day. And I don't want those out there to have what you have. Get yourself, take some Word Pepto, take some vitamins, take some water, Pedialyte. Take those things that rejuvenate you, the simple things. Let's get you strong again. Then you go out and tell them about the real Jesus, the one that's not a sissy, The one that does not look the other way for when you sin. We just read earlier in another time that you will not be held blameless for those things. Let's be honest with them. Once you're born again, the Bible says when you begin to sin, it's just like trying to hang Jesus on the cross again. That's what it is. It's what it says. And that is not tolerated. When's the last time you heard that from a church? That is not tolerated. Well, you just take it from the mouth of God. He loves His Son. And He don't want to see His own family whipping up on His Son anymore. He don't want another son whipping up on His Son. Now, you understand the picture. If you decide that because of this redemption process, that you can go sin every day in thought, word, and deed and ask forgiveness at the end of the day, you're making mockery out of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And God the Father, it's His plan. He will not tolerate it. Well, what are you saying, Stan? I'm saying you're going to pay for this. Does the Bible say that he chastises those that He loves? Why would we need chastisement? Because we're just naturally bad? No, because you're naturally good. And you choose to be bad. You were naturally bad. But you were born again and now you're naturally good. Your nature is good. Now you know the difference and now you've chosen to spit in the face of God. And God don't like spit. The only reason He gave you spit is to keep your tongue wetted so you could speak the word of God. He don't like for you to spit back at Him. Jesus is the one that paid the price. I don't intend to hurt Him again. And I don't intend to let you do it. That's the call of this church. It's not to get people saved right and left, even though we're going to do that. But this church is going to love Jesus so much that we get angry when we see somebody hurting Him. I don't know how else more childlike to say it. I can describe to you in governmental terms. I can describe you in many terms how this is going to happen. But I'm telling you, this church is going to get offended when Jesus gets hurt. Is that okay with y'all? We're not going to have smiley people that try to be politically correct. We're going to have people like the Lion of Judah. You can ask Mackenzie right now, how does the lion go? Arr. That's what she does. Arr. You're going to have to start hearing Jesus as one that roars, not one that whispers. The Holy Spirit whispers. Jesus doesn't whisper. They asked Him who He is. He said, I am. He didn't say that because He was proud of who He is. Are you proud of who you are? And are you proud of who He is in you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with me. I'm going to ask you very seriously again. I'm going to ask you until I know that the answer is everybody's okay. Our heart's clear. Somebody need to pray. Somebody need to repent a little bit. Somebody need to get some things changed, strengthened up, taken down. Who? Okay. Well, there she is. Well, somebody bring her down. She's asked. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise you, Lord. I'm excited about the time. She's on time. See? What I want is I want our children to be more tender than us. Are you hearing me? And some of you guys are pretty tender. Some of you are pretty tender. I want our children to be more tender and sensitive to the Spirit of God than we. I want our children setting us straight sometimes. Because they can do it. Born again, newborns can set you straight. When you get your mind wanders and you get a little out of line, they'll call you on it. Somebody have something they want from God, please come down. I'm not saying I have it, but the Bible says that when we can agree, we get it. Got it? All right. Here's the example of innocence. As far as I'm concerned, the example of innocence. Come on, we got some heavy stuff here. Those of you that feel like touching some heavy stuff, come on. And I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about stuff that's moving. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you see things in the Spirit? Can you have the mind of Christ that shows you where we really need to touch things? Come on, let's go there. Let's don't call ourselves the mighty hands of God. Let's be that. Since she was the first one here, we're going to pray for her first, right? Father, we love You with all of our hearts. I thank You that this young lady sitting in this auditorium heard the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thank You that it's touched her. And now the blood, bruises, and stripes of Jesus Christ flow over her, through her, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. God, we're not just asking you to heal her physically. We're asking you to heal her mentally. Let her be that mighty child of God that grows up strong in you, that's the strongest witness in her entire family, that's the strongest witness to everybody that knows her. She remembers this day from this point forward. She remembers it in Jesus' name because God Himself, through Jesus Christ, has touched her. She knows what born again is. She knows what healed is. She knows who Jesus is. And she'll tell in Jesus' name. She'll tell in Jesus' name. She will not be ashamed of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that that's true and real now. She's healed, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Let's pray for this lady right here. God knows her name. Did you say it was Janelle? God knows her personally. Praise you, Lord. Y'all ladies, lay hands on her. Father, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that any time that we see somebody attacked like she has been and is being attacked now, we know that God has a mighty plan for her. And so we stand up for her like Jesus stood up for us. We lay our wants and wishes aside right now and we say, Janelle, in Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. Eyes be clear. Heart be clear. Spirit be clear. We know, enemy, you've had your way, but you don't have it any longer. We curse you. We release this lady into the bruises, blood, and stripes of Jesus. Jesus, know her. Know her like you knew us. Know her now in Jesus' name. We place a hedge round about her from the words of doctors, from the words of friends, from the words of prescriptions. Now in Jesus' name, we place a hedge round about her. Holy Spirit, minister inside of this prayer, inside of this wish, inside of this surrounding that we've placed. Hedge. In Jesus' name. Mind, be clear. Be clear. Be clear. We love you and Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He's fighting for you. Fight with Him, okay? Trust Him. Trust Him. He's fighting for you because He's got to work for you. You're going to be proud one day. You're going to be proud of what He does through you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank 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 you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you gentlemen, turn to Claude there, please. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I'm not too good to lay hands on. My mind is much clearer when I can move. Please don't take offense. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Claude, the enemy would have you is to sift you, and he has been for years. He's been sifting you. You've been following, you've been listening, but not listening clear enough. You've been looking for complicated things. You've been looking for hidden things. I say to you that Jesus wants you to know the special things between you and Him, the simple things. Not a complicated gospel, and not Claude's gospel. Holy Spirit of the living God, I ask you right now as we lay hands on him that you purge him from Claude. His wants, his wishes, his wills, his choices, and in its place, in Jesus' name, a new man in Christ Jesus. One that is totally directed by God. One that is sold out to Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ so much that he forgets everything else. God, I ask you to bless him financially so that he can do this work. I ask you to touch him in those promises that you've touched him. Not so that he can lay back, but so that he can get to work for Christ Jesus. Let that be so. Let that be the drive of his life, the hunger and the thirst. Let him drop in Jesus' name everything that has held him back, that's hindered him. And let him run the race that you've set before him. Hallelujah. And he does it in the name that takes dominion over all names. Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? What's wrong with Chuck? I don't see anything wrong with Chuck. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There goes the devil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We take that as a spiritual sign, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because we know she's healed.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you know what he asks. You know what he asked. I'll give it to him. Give it to him in Jesus' name. That walk that's closer, but make it closer than he's ever had before. Make it so hot that he can't hardly stand it. Make it so revealing that it's just like everything's going in high speed and fast motion. And let everything that He's ever been taught in times past fall to the ground, and let your mind be in His place. He no longer thinks about those things in the past, but He thinks about the Spirit of the living God and the Word from God right now. It's alive and it's real in Him. It's eating Him alive. So be it. He dies that you might live, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No longer will the sensitive and the politically correct and smooth words come out of Chuck. But your words will come out in the way you've designed in Jesus' name. He'll be the mighty, mighty man. He'll be the mighty, mighty man. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You don't need nothing, do you? You already got it, don't you? Huh? Well, just touch and agree with her. She's already got it. Praise you, Lord. What's wrong with you? Why don't you come down with Jesus instead? Well, that's what the world offers. You come down with what He says. Praise you, Lord. Yes? You pray for them, Lord. Yes. Yes. Our Father, we thank You that the family shares the hunger. That what we spoke over Chuck, we also speak over Tanya. We speak over Tanya. And in Jesus' name, this family is touched and anointed. Not just Chuck, not just Tanya. But those mighty bunch of words fall to the ground. And that same energy is turned into the Word of the living God. That it out-talks and it out-speaks any other voice that comes up. Let it be established and done in Jesus' name. We have great hope for the future for them. Father, we thank You for the hunger in Crystal. We thank You for the hunger in Crystal. And God, every spirit that's tried to come against her, we still now stand and rebuke once again. We stand in the promise that it's done and finished. That our old hungers and old thirsts have passed away and new ones are now replaced in Jesus' name. Those things that used to turn her on no longer turn her on, but You do. Those things that used to draw her and she couldn't resist, they're nothing anymore. They're a bad taste in her mouth. And she now sees and hears and feels clearly that it's the natural things of the Father that draw her and cause hunger and thirst in her. The eyes are clear. The eyes are healed. The eyes are clear. The heart is clear that looks out those eyes. The windows of the soul are clear. She walks in salvation. She's healed and delivered in Jesus' name. And no matter what any other voice says, that is the way it is. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Father, we give You praise for the work that's been done today. We give You praise. I thank You for the devil being disinfected right now. I thank You, Lord. I thank You that the mess that the devil was trying to do is gone. Hallelujah. Anybody else? All hearts clear? Because we're going to get out of here if they are. We're not going to waste God's time. We're going to go walk in it. Amen? Hallelujah. God, do Your work today. Do Your work tomorrow. Do it the rest of the day in these people. God, we want to be known in this city as the city, as this place on the hill. That's that place on the hill. I don't understand what it is. We've seen it. Every time we pass by there, something tells us to come. Let us draw men to You, Christ Jesus. Let us draw men to the kingdom of God and not to softness and weakness. We call them to determination. Hallelujah. That everybody in this place is blessed. They're filled with the Word of God. And the Word goes forth to do the mighty work for the kingdom. Everybody that agrees, I say it is finished. You say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.